You're listening to Jungle Janna Radio with Jungle Janna and Angel Garcia, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody in the world, and welcome to Jungle Janna Radio live here in Los Angeles. And actually, I'm in Texas now, but I think I told you, Chris, I'm flying back to Costa Rica on Monday. So I will see you on Tuesday. Woohoo! Excellent. I can't wait to get back. And this is Chris Graham. He is the owner and of everything OSA Tourism. And you can go to osatourism.com to find out all of the amazing opportunities for adventure on the most biologically diverse place on our entire planet. And he is here to explain a lot of that for us today. And so as we were just discussing, and as we both know, tell us what is so unique. And if you're looking for a place to go have adventure and to see something that is so special and unique in the world, what are two aspects of Costa Rica that make it that spectacular?
First of all, the OSA Peninsula, it was basically the end of the road in Costa Rica, and there weren't any roads on here until the 1980s, so it's been pretty isolated for a lot of years. What makes it so special is the OSA Peninsula has won a golf that is here. It's called the Gulf of Dulce, which is a tropical fjord. So that's one of the jewels of the OSA Peninsula. And then the other one is Corcovado National Park, which is one of the best national parks on the planet. So those two jewels allows a lot of people to enjoy the environment and the natural world here.
So what's, so how much biodiversity? So this little peninsula, I don't even, do you know how big it is?
I haven't looked. I mean, I have it on my website, but I haven't recorded it in my head. But it's like 2/3 of it almost taken up by the OSA, Corcovado National Park.
Right.
So think about that. A whole peninsula and two parts of it is a national park. And then there's huge amounts of it that are put into reserves, private reserves that are right up against the park. So it allows for a lot of movement of wildlife.
So I'm like, I'm from, because you know where I am. I don't know how, I can't tell you how long, I can tell you how long it takes there to get there to the where you actually have to hike in to enter the park. But I'm on the OSA Peninsula, but also there is the Tiraba Sierpe Wetland National Forest, the largest mangrove forest, wetland forest in Costa Rica, and the third largest in Central America. So that's part of OSA Peninsula. It's just like this huge explosion of nature, correct?
Yeah, it's incredible. Actually, I was just reading an article about whether we should reintroduce the giant anteater back onto the OSA. Yeah, well, again, it's quite a lot of things to do, but it used to be here. It was last seen in the 1970s or 80s near Serena, which is deep in the park, but it hasn't been seen since.
So they still exist?
Oh, yeah. They've got them in captivity. They breed them and everything. So, and they are in South America as well.
We need to reintroduce those. I mean, yeah, I remember there's older people that are in their 90s and 80s over the past years that have told me about how they used to like be around the Mogos area and all over the OSA. Explain to people what they look like, because it's you can't.
Yeah.
How big are they? Amazing. They're huge. They're enormous.
I've never seen them. I've never seen them in captivity, and I've never seen them in the wild. So I don't know. I've only seen pictures of them.
Yeah, it's amazing. Is there anything else we have to introduce that you know of?
Not really, but they're actually discovering more things here. They're discovering more different species of frogs here still, definitely different species of plants. So it just continues to grow on its own with discoveries.
So we were going to talk about what there is to do out there, what there is to see. So we're going to talk about the two jewels. Which one do you want to go for first?
We'll talk about the Corcovado National Park.
Okay, let's do that.
It's well known. Even when I first came here, it was all about the park. It was all about the OSA itself. And nobody talked about the Gulf of Dulce. So basically, the park was created in the 70s. It was being invaded at the time by settlers, and they were bringing chainsaws. I have pictures. And it was near Serena, which is deep in the park right now. It was all farms. They'd cut down so much stuff. So since then, since around 1976, they've been protecting it. The park has become so well protected. Sports hunting has been, it's illegal now, that the animals are coming out of the park.
In all of Costa Rica, right? In all of Costa Rica.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what people used to come to the OSA for. They used to come down here when the roads weren't here and come hunting. As I said, I think I said last week that John Wayne was here. He used to come hunt here.
Oh, wow.
So the park has become, with the protection, it's become very good, and all the animals are coming out of it. The problem with the park is that it used to be hard to get into. You used to have to hike in.
Right.
It would take anywhere from 8 hours.
The 90s.
Even back, it was basically what the biggest change right now are boats. So the boats are now going into the park from popular places like Sierpe, Drake Bay, and Puerto Menas. So that now gives people that who never hiked before, who probably couldn't hike, access to the park. So now a lot of people are going in that way, and they're not hiking in, which they used to be before, I would say before 2015,
right?
More people hiked in. Right. So the park has a lot of to offer. You get to see some of the bigger animals there. Definitely chances to see pumas, tapirs, all sorts of crazy, and all the monkeys and stuff like that. So the park is a beautiful place. It's the management is constantly being upgraded. So so everybody has access to it through the boats.
So what is connected to the park that people can that is an asset to the park along that road up to the park when you drive or.
Well, for me, I guess a lot of it's also the journey to the park.
Right.
So from Port Jimenez, you can get into the park 1, 2, 3, 4 ways.
Okay.
One by boat, and 3 by hiking.
And the hiking, where are the different hiking locations located now to enter?
Well, one's at the end of the road in Karate. So that's basically a hike in and a hike out kind of thing. You don't really normally hike all the way to into the middle of the park, but it's beautiful. Right. It's along the remote Pacific coast with the turtles coming up on the beach. People have seen all sorts of animals there. So that's one way to get in. The other way is up in Dos Bratos.
Oh, yeah.
You can do a loop trail. So again, that's a loop trail. It goes in and out of the park.
That was a Mike Boston trail. He liked that trail. Those rocks, you remember. Yeah.
And then the third one I know of is Los Patos. So that's a huge. Yeah. So people do a day hike in there. You hike along a river. There's a beautiful waterfall in there that goes all year long. So people hike to that. And some people will hike all the way to Serena, which is probably about an 8-hour hike.
Isn't there like hundreds and hundreds of species of birds?
Oh, yeah. There's over 450 species of birds here.
Yes.
And that's one of the tours we'll talk about because it's unique. Unique to all of Costa Rica. You don't find that many birds anywhere else.
I know. And anywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere.
So, So the park is a big asset. It's two-thirds, at least nearly two-thirds of the peninsula. It has a lot of animals in there. The only issue is there's too many people going in the park at Serena now because of the boats. But there's lots of other accesses. If you want a more remote trip where you see more animals and less people, that's definitely can be arranged.
And where would that those places be?
Well, the Los Patos Trail, Karate. Okay, the Karate Trail is since COVID, Karate's changed a bit, and there's not a lot of people there, and the animals are all coming out. Like you see tapirs, pumas, outside the park. So it's become very successful there. So, but
So
again, nature won't just show up. You know, you have to go look for it.
when I first did Rainforest Radio in Costa Rica, Mike took us on the Los Patos Trail.
Mike
Me,
Boston,
my
Mike
son, and all my
Boston.
crew. And one guy, Ricardo, it took three of us to drag him across some rivers.
Oh yeah,
Bless
Mike
his heart.
Boston was.
He was tough.
Oh, he was tough.
So
So.
let's take a break and have a couple of interesting videos about what's happening in OSA. How about that?
Perfect. And then we'll come
Ooh.
back and talk about Golfo Dulce, which is
Yes,
amazing.
that's even a crazy right now, right? Ooh.
Oh yeah, totally crazy.
Okay, Sam, we're ready.
It seemed like no one ever died of old age, natural death, you know, drinking or some other kind of ailment that got to them. A few got in landslides, tunnels caved in, snake bites, crossing rivers. So it wasn't a place where, you know, you're gonna live a long, natural life.
I am new.
Tremendous fear of maybe not being able to cope with our situation, especially putting gold and conservation together.
Everybody should visit the Osa at least once. You will see energy.
A place like this really does exist.
Isn't that beautiful? So,
Yeah, gorgeous.
since we're talking about Corcovado, you did the, we're just going to cut away because I have to brag on you a little bit. You did the documentary Gold Walker. And that was talking about Goldwalker. And when you see that, it's kind of like a little Texas history. I mean, we didn't have gold, but we had some crazy stuff happening. And there was some, and what's interesting, that gold rush was in the 70s.
There's actually two gold rushes on the
Okay.
OSA, that modern gold rush. One was in the 1940s, right at the
Okay.
beginning. And the other one was in the 1980s,
80s.
mid
Okay.
80s. Yeah.
And look how things have changed. And
Oh,
so
yeah.
we can tell people where do you find that? Because if you want to know the history, now what I like about what you just put forward with talking about Goldwalker, the documentary, was that what that it was able to be saved. It had
Yeah.
gone. Yeah, you want to talk
And
about
it's
that in
it
a minute,
well yeah, it's definitely conservation against money.
right? And it worked, didn't it?
Just
Just barely.
barely.
Barely, but it made it.
Yeah, it
It
did.
did. Okay, so you can go to where do you have it's on YouTube?
Yeah, it's on YouTube, or you can find the links on my website.
Okay.
I've written quite a few history articles, especially about the watershed that's here on the Osa Peninsula.
Right.
So basically, Corcovado was built on the watershed, the design of it, and all the rivers that came out. Well, most of the rivers, not all of them, were filled with gold. So I told each river about each how it was mined for gold and how it affected the rest of the Osa.
Okay, and that's on osatourism.com. And how do you search for that? Is there a search engine on that site?
Yeah, it's just Osa Stories.
Okay, that's great. So, are we going to talk about Golfo Dulce now?
Yeah, right now the Golfo Dulce has whales in it. Yes. I think Josh mentioned last week. So basically, the whales are here. The mothers come in early. They're not all here. The peak season's in October. So what are we, only in August? So right. August and September, you're still getting more coming in. So right now, there's not a lot, but they're here. What else? Recently, people have seen the whale sharks.
Oh, they're so, that's such a rare sighting and beautiful.
So friendly, too.
Like, I know that they eat plankton or what? What do they eat?
Right.
They don't eat, they're not going to hurt you.
No. They're not at all. They come right up to boats. Like, you just have to be calm and relaxed and they'll come right up to your boat.
And they're huge.
So they're curious.
Beautiful. Oh, yeah.
And then we have all the turtles in the, there's a lot of turtle action right now on Karate Beach. It's starting up. The turtles are arriving to lay their eggs on the beaches here. So we have more turtles in the Gulf of Dulce as well. And then the schools of fish, incredible. You go on and on about the wildlife that's in the Gulf of Dulce. It's insane.
It's
crazy.
It's
such a big, it's huge. So, I mean, it's like 15 miles across at one point. So it's huge. It's a huge body of water. So to do the tours are really cool because the captains are all from here and they all talk to each other via the radio. So they'll all help each other find out where the action is. So, and then you can go see the stuff. But
so is it, Josh is out with 22 Italians today?
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear how Joshua went today of seeing the whales with 22 Italians. I have to say that because Katie Starr is Italian. Her mother's Italian. Okay. Her grandparents are Italian. She has an Italian passport. And I just hung out with her all weekend long. So,
We've seen the whales from the beach. Sometimes you can just sit on the beach with a beer and you can see them. They're far away. They're a couple miles, but they jump and you can see them leave the water. So, it's beautiful. People love it. And you don't have to go, like a lot of places you have to go out in the ocean, like a couple hours to go.
You're in calm water. Yeah.
Calm waters. They're right here. Josh will take you to the other side, go swimming. So it's beautiful.
Yeah. He found a secret little inlet there that's got a little waterfall and a little cave in it. I haven't seen that yet. I'll be back on Monday. I will just soon after the show on Wednesday be out with Josh. I promise.
Oh yeah, it's just we're having really good weather right now. Like it's sunny during the days, and then the rain starts or the storms come in late in the afternoon, and sometimes it doesn't rain at all. All we do is get lightning and thunder. But
I've kind of noticed
beautiful.
That kind of comes off and on throughout the years I've been there. Like August, I can't stand it here. It's so hot here. Yeah. We're 103 degrees. But when you get to, August in Osa, normally you have afternoon showers, but you get like this little Indian summer thing going on.
Oh, I know. Like I think we're going to start getting more tourists coming down in July, August. Before people would just stay home because it was nice and stuff. But now it's getting so hot in North America or Europe. Right. That people want to come here because one thing that Osa has is a lot of water.
Yeah.
So we have, it's the land of waterfalls. Most of them are very remote. So that's why Mogos is so good. You can get access to it. We have rivers everywhere.
Right.
We have ocean. We have beautiful ocean. The Gulf of Dulce. So people are starting to come down here because they get to enjoy being around water.
Right. It's nice. Mm-hmm. And magic happens. There's a toucan in the tree. Oh my gosh. Oh, look, there's Carl McCall's over there. Oh, look at, there's a sloth up there, right by the beach. It's just, you just never know what you're going to see.
Yeah. One of the great things about working at Osa Tourism is I get to set up tours for families. And I remember when I was young and my father took us different places, going to places where you learn about nature sticks with you forever.
He did
and that's
that
why
for
it's
you.
Really.
He did that for you.
Yeah, he took my dad took us to Africa.
Oh, that's cool.
So that just changed. That changed a lot. That changes a lot in children. Like when children start to see how the world works beyond the cement and the buildings, I think they have a better understanding. And again, I think we protect the things we love. So if more families could come to the OSA and learn about nature and fall in love I think there'll be more energy to save nature.
You know, what I enjoy now is, like, you know, this year I've had people come to my waterfalls and then they come back and first time they bring their kids and then they bring their friends. And it's like these repeat people that keep coming back to OSA with different people that want to show them what they discovered. Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah.
I just have the one. You must see that a lot in your tourism.
Oh, clients. Yeah. You see, I mean, after I talk to clients, after they do the tours, I mean, I think they're amazed. Like, I think there's a lot of amazement. And Mogos is just Mogos is probably one of the best kept secrets on the OSA Peninsula. Because it's not one of the main, like going to Corcovado, doing the Gulf of Dulce tours, chocolate tours, sloth tours. But I think people get more out of the Mogos tour after talking to them, especially with children or groups.
Right.
Because they all get to interact together. It's a private tour most of the time. And at Mogos, you get to go right into the waterfall and you just immerse yourself in the energy of the rainforest, which is really amazing. And some people say it's way better than Corcovado.
People ask me a lot, you're going to do two. How many tours do you do a day? One. I'm doing one tour a day. You got it for the day. Because I want them to feel what I felt the first time I went there to visit when it wasn't mine, like in 1992 or three. It's different, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm just trying to explain that to people that tours like Mogos allows everybody to feel the rainforest. And now you have that beautiful hiking trail.
It's a good one.
All the animals on those in that forest don't see humans very often.
No.
So they act differently.
And the titi monkeys, the monos titi, the squirrel monkeys, they're always curious when they see somebody. So they're just they're following you on the trail. You know how they do. Okay.
That's what I found. The interaction between places like that. I mean, Corcovado is great, but now the animals are starting to get more comfortable with people. So there's a different reaction. Whereas if you go to Mogos, an area that is not overwhelmed by tour people, it's amazing the reactions you get.
And then also outside of Corcovado in the connecting areas where there's not, right? It's the same, like on the private properties outside of Corcovado surrounding it.
Are there
experiences there?
Yeah, because what you're having is the park is so big again that people, both foreigners and locals, are creating their own experiences.
Right.
So there is a lot to enjoy here. And
everywhere
on the OSA. You can basically message me at OSA Tourism and say, hey, our family's coming down. We want to not do Corcovado. We want to do something like this, this, and this. So we do a lot of custom work. Because we don't do mass tourism.
I know, that's not what this is.
We're personally connected to the people we put on tours, and we try and match what they want instead of them being caught up by all this marketing. Hey, go to Corcovado. Well, you know, Corcovado's great, but there's so much more.
You know, person that you sent me this year that was amazing was Sarah.
Oh, okay.
And you know what she does? She is in charge. She works for all. She is in the head of all the 433 national parks in the United States of America.
Wow.
And she lives in Austin, Texas. And they work on to make sure that everything's conserved, that they're managed right. You know, everything, every issue, like Big Bend National Park. You probably heard they're trying to build a wall. She's on the head of all that. And it was like when she got there, she'd been 3 days in Corcovado. She had blisters all over her feet. I'm like, hey, just calm down. We're going to wrap your feet. We're going to fix anyway. She stayed a couple of days. She was a gem and we still keep in touch. So I'm asking her all about the parks in the States. She's asking me about all the parks in Costa Rica. I think we better take another quick break. We still have, Chris is the contact to all the tourism on OSA and he's my go-to person, but how many years have you been there? 20?
I came down as a volunteer in 2003.
Okay.
So, but I've been back and forth. I didn't live here full time, but now I'm here full time. I've been here full time for 11 years.
Yeah. But you were bringing in tourism and doing that for a long, long time.
Oh, yeah. Bringing groups down. Yep.
But you're super savvy. So let's go to some more information there on video, Sam, and we'll be back.
Thank you.
Don't just imagine the osa. Experience it. Got a good life. Got a damn good life. Got a good life. Got a damn good life. Got a good life. Got a damn good life. Got a good life. Got a damn good life with you. Yeah. Got a good life.
That was fun. So osatourism.com, anything you want to do in OSA, you're the most experienced person I know about. What you have sent the most amazing people to me, and I appreciate
it. Yeah, I mean, I really appreciate the people that contact us because they don't want to just do average tours or what people do, like the zip line. You can do zip lining anywhere. I mean, it's nice anywhere. Here, don't get me wrong. All the tours are nice. But the uniqueness of the OSA is what people should look at. So, as I said, I think the top tours that people usually that I usually like to do is like something to do with like actually I talk people out of doing Corcovado as much as I can. There are other hikes to do like Rio Piro and stuff like that have older forests, bigger trees, less people. And then the other tour, of course, the Gulf of Dulce with Captain Josh.
Oh.
And then there's the night tour is another thing that people should do. Like, it's a whole different world to walk out at night for a couple hours.
Ashley and Andrew do some night tours just when people stay at their lodge.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can do a night tour almost anywhere.
Right.
But I recommend, one, you should take a guide with you because at night it's harder to see things. And guides know where stuff is.
So the sounds
are beautiful.
So what do you see on night tours for people? They may not understand.
Well, mostly it's, frogs, snakes. I'm sure there's other stuff I've seen, the crocodiles and stuff like that. So there's a lot to see.
You know what's cool about the crocodiles? You shine a flashlight in their face at them and their eyes glow red. So when my mother-in-law, I took care of my mother-in-law. She came there. They gave her a year and a half to live in like 2004. She lived 8 years. And she was in Africa, and she had helped save the cheetah, and it was Southwest Africa then, now Namibia, and there are books written about her. And she came on vacation, and nobody had her derivatives, and she ended up in Mogos, and we had a house overlooking the beach at that time. And she told me she lost her passport after 2 weeks, and she refused to go back to the States, and she stayed, and she passed there. And she loved the moment of it. But, you know, she was into nature. She had emphysema really bad, like they told us that.
Oh, that.
Her lungs were full. And we would have to take her back to, which is Baylor Medical SEMA, every 3 months. And within a year and a half, it was completely gone.
Amazing. Yeah.
Completely gone. I have Baylor Medical SEMA Hospital's records of that. That's amazing.
You know, the other thing, the kinkajou, the night monkey.
Yeah.
They make a hell of a noise. But again,
and red eyes again.
Yeah. Nature is just so entertaining here. Like you can go out, walk out your door, wherever you're staying in accommodation, just go for a walk a couple hours and you'll be amazed, especially at sunrise and sunsets.
Right.
Animals are on the move. The birds are on the move. Everybody's, they wake up in the morning and want to eat right away. And then at night they want to find their place, their resting place. So there's a lot of movement going on at those times. So like most tours here should start, like if they go into the rainforest, most tours start around 5:30.
They should.
Just when the sun's coming up. Yep. And then night tours usually start around 5:30.
Right.
And go for 2 hours.
It starts getting dark then.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably the
like
best.
What, 9 degrees from the equator or something like that?
8 degrees, I think.
8 or 9. Okay. And so like in Texas, just like in Canada, your days are longer in certain times of the year. Well, isn't there like just like a 30 something minute difference between in the whole year of the
I think there's less.
Yeah.
I think it's maybe 15 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like the same all year long. So you can count on it.
Yeah. 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 You get into a rhythm of getting up in the morning at 5:30 and going to bed I'm sure Josh has mentioned this, OSA midnight.
Yeah.
OSA midnight's at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
Because at 9 a.m. you're like, holy geez, I'm tired. Stay up late.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there are some other things. So what kind of, okay, can we just talk a little bit about the sloth tour?
Yeah.
I love so much because it's so in the wild and so natural and so came from a family who was raised there and how that all happened. That
people are fascinated. I don't know why they're fascinated with sloths. I personally, I never really thought about sloths that much until I came to the Osa Peninsula. They're all over the Osa, but because they don't move, they're really hard to see. So to go to the sloth garden run by a local family has been here I longer than I know. They started this garden where the sloths have come together. So it's a really good place to go and see how the sloths work in nature, and you can see them all. So
the story it's a really nice tour. That when Dennis was young, and now you know he's been in Colombia, he's a photographer, and he does the that he was raised with his grandparents. And this is the story I was told, and that his grandmother just loved the sloths. And so the grandfather, being, you know, for generations in the Osa, went and planted all these trees all around the backside of their property.
Yeah.
Because that's where they live and they come. So now there's sloths there naturally in the wild. And so they get to go see sloths that are in their natural habitat, nothing that's enclosed, just they have what they like to live in.
Well, it's again, you can really investigate almost any animal here because they have turtle projects here. So you can go on the beach with the turtle projects, the sloth garden. There's also a new animal sanctuary that's starting up.
Ada, Bustamante.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was there with the family. They're having so much fun. And they have little, she has areas where she keeps some of the animals, and she has one area where there's peccaries, wild pigs.
Oh, yeah.
We're on these beautiful trails that she has, and we're walking over to have a look at the peccaries. And within about 2 minutes, there's like 8 peccaries around us. These ones are wild.
I know.
So she's got wild peccaries that come into her property. It's quite amazing. So again, it's just
25
great.
And 30. It's kind of scary because they will attack. They can't. Wow.
You got to learn to climb a tree.
Well, okay. I got a story. When I was 5, my grandfather, we were looking for some calves or something that got out on the ranch in Texas. And he's old, and I'm walking, I'm stepping behind him, and he's got a gun in case there's a snake or something. And all of a sudden these peccaries charged us, and he dropped his gun, and we had to climb a tree. And we sat in that tree until it was way after dark, and my father came in his truck looking for us, and we were treed by peccaries. So when I see a peccary, I'm like, okay, easy. I'm just gonna.
Yeah, I interviewed a lot of gold miners.
Oh yeah,
and a lot of them, their biggest fear was the peccaries.
Yeah,
and they tell a story of one of their mates who. Just disappeared from his camp. He was supposed to come down to meet them all one night, never was there. So they walked up and they found some of his clothes, but they couldn't find any part of him. Peccaries freak people out. So,
well, I just give them their space. When I get, my son. Oh, yeah. As long as you don't run at them and try, but they we walked right into them and we didn't see them.
Oh yeah, I've had them walk right by me. They're not aggressive at all, but there are the stories.
There are lots of stories. So I was talking to I met with these two guys yesterday, Chase and Jordan. They're twin brothers, and they've been in Los Angeles for a long time. And they're now back. They're making all these films, and they've had some on Netflix and on Prime. And I was at their house yesterday for an hour talking about they want to do some stuff in Costa Rica. And so, and they also told me that Costa Rica has these really great incentives to film from people coming from out of the country.
Wow. I didn't know that.
I did not know this. If you're not.
No, I wish I did know that.
Well, we're going to have to check that stuff out because you are a filmmaker. Mm. But they were super fascinated with Costa Rica and everything they read about it. But we're probably going to have them down before our rainy season is over.
Oh, cool. That's very good.
And they want to meet you. They saw Gold Walker and were fascinated. And so, that was stuff. Their parents were at my waterfall before it was my waterfall in the 90s because it was was who we bought it from, but they came to the Osa Peninsula like in, I don't know, the mid-90s. And his dad was swimming for Monkey Vine at the waterfalls and stuff. And so they're like, you need to go, son. Probably that's what's happening. But that's really fascinating that people that had that experience in the 90s are telling their kids and, you know, all that going on. So it's amazing. Let's have some more information. Let's have a couple of more videos and then we'll come back again. And
perfect.
About some more stuff. You're full of information there, Chris.
Yeah.
It seemed like no one ever died of old age, natural death, you know, drinking or some other kind of ailment that got to them. Few got in landslides, tunnels, cave vents, snake bites, crossing rivers. So it wasn't a place where, you know, you're going to live a long, natural life.
I am beauty. I am nature. I am balanced. I am complete. I will fight and I will find all the cracks in man's concrete.
I had tremendous fear of maybe not being able to cope with our situation, especially putting gold and conservation together.
Everybody should visit the Osa at least once. This is the energy.
A place like this really does exist.
Tell me about Michi. I like her. How did you get Michi?
She's Costa Rican, lives in San Jose. I met her through a friend, and she came down to help me launch Osa Tourism. And she was able to explore the Osa with me and find some of the unique experiences here.
Oh, she's amazing. She's been to my waterfall.
Oh, yeah. She keeps saying she wants to go back to the waterfall. She doesn't say anything about it. Yeah, she doesn't talk about anything else. Oh, I want to go back to Mogo's.
Well, I can put her up if she just wants to do a visit. It's okay. I'll take care of
someday.
Her. Yeah, someday. I really like her. What I like about her take in the videos that you've done is that she is Costa Rican. Did she come to Osa for the first time with you to see it?
No, she came first time to visit a friend, and that's how I met her. I met her on her first visit here.
Okay, but she fell in love, right? Like everybody does. I'll remember when I first started Rainforest Radio in, I don't know, 2008, 2009, somewhere in there. And, the first thing we did is we walked around all of we went to the malls. We went everywhere because nobody knew that Osa existed. They're their own people.
I know. In San Jose, you'd say to people, oh, I'm going to Puerto Menas. They go, where's that?
Yeah, they had no clue.
No.
Don't you think that Costa Ricans know now? We get a lot of Costa Ricans coming, don't we now?
We do, yeah. I mean, I've made an effort because of Michi. She also speaks Spanish, so I have Spanish marketing that I've been putting into San Jose because the more Costa Ricans come here, the better.
Right.
And we are noticing it that this green season, which started in May, hasn't been as busy as it usually is for foreigners.
Right.
But we're getting a lot more Costa Ricans coming down and discovering the Osa Peninsula. So that's great. Cause it's about a 6-hour drive down the coast from San Jose to Puerto Menas. So it's accessible. Before in the past, it was horrible.
Oh,
like
so it would take
15 hours.
We would drive and it would take us literally, if you went the coast road before when they had those old military bridges, we would drive and spend the night in like, Capos.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
We would drive because we found out about it, stay in Dominical. And then we would drive because it was dirt roads. You got to Palmer Norte. Then it was paved because it was the Pan American Highway, which is the highway over the mountains. I guess
right.
It goes from Canada to Panama, but it went over the mountains. And then we would stay there and then we would get to Mogos. It was like,
yeah. You know, so, and this wasn't that long ago. It wasn't that long ago that it was so difficult to get here. So now there's a lot, it's a lot easier. And more people are coming, more Costa Ricans, and they love it here. You can, and they're very respectful. You know, you don't see a lot of problems. Everybody gets along here, and yeah, it's really nice that way. I'm glad they're coming.
So let's just to, for people who might be outside of Costa Rica and who are listening to this, I have to say, and I love Texas. I was born here. I'm in my hometown. It is a place where I grew up on a ranch, like I live in, you know, so I had those experiences in small town Texas. But to go to be in Costa Rica for so long, it's so different because, you know, okay, so I got mad a while back for a very good reason, but not at my guys at my ranch. And I found them at the back of the house after my little fit laughing at me. And then they got caught. And then I'm laughing. I'm sorry. And Luisito's going, I haven't seen you mad in 10 years.
Yeah.
What had to do with?
What, did you bring stress? You brought some stress back with
you?
No.
Somebody was mean to my dog. And then that made me mad.
Oh, that's right.
You mess with my puppy. I'm mad. So anyway, well, and then I just started laughing with them.
One thing I always laugh at, people always come down and ask me a lot of things. Can we do this? Can we do that? Can we do this? And I said, well, first, use logic. People, freedom. You know, people feel free here. They're like, oh, can we have a, you know, a little fire on the beach? Yeah, go have a little fire on the beach. There's driftwood. Don't worry about it. But that's what I get from people who leave here. They go, they just feel so free and less stress. There's not a lot of stress here. There's, it just doesn't work.
And the people, the Costa Rican people are really nice.
I think it's the perfect vacation. Oh, super nice. Super nice. And I really believe that Ospinosa is one holiday that people should all take. I think you come back from the Osa feeling healthier, more energy, more knowledge of our outside world, our natural world. And I think people just feel better.
I do. And I'm going to feel a lot better on Monday evening. when I get back, when I land on Monday evening, I'm going to feel a lot better. I'm happy.
And your nails and your hair.
My community's a unique little community here in Texas, but yeah. And Katie and Fitz, you know, remember Katie and you know Katie.
Yep.
Katie and Fitz are coming back. They're trying to get their dad to come down. Now, interesting enough, Bobby Starr used to be on my show with Captain Paul Watson, the Playboy Barbie Twins, and then Amy and Raylan Nelson came on. He was on the show for a few years. So, Kate, the first year I was in Costa Rica in the early 90s, he was actually, I didn't even know him. He was actually there at the same time and went all the way to like Dominical, but never made it to Osa where I was. And we didn't meet till years and years later. Like, isn't that crazy? And he just loved it. Well, maybe we should take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Don't just imagine the Osa. Experience it.
Your timing is impeccable. Welcome back, Chris. Well, we may not have Chris.
It seemed like no one ever died of old age, natural death, you know, drinking or some other kind of ailment that got to them. Few got in landslides, tunnels, cave beds, snake bites, crossing rivers. So it wasn't a place where, you know, you're going to live a long, natural life.
I am beauty. I am nature. I am balance. I am complete. I will fight and I will find all the cracks in man's concrete.
I had tremendous fear of maybe not being able to cope with that situation, especially putting gold and conservation together.
Everybody should visit the Earth at least once. You see energy.
A place like this really does exist.
Hey there, you are.
You there?
Chris, are you there?
It's me or you?
Go ahead and talk.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you perfect. What we're going to do right now is wrap up. So what do you want to say in closing?
What I'm going to say is that I think people should come to the Osa Peninsula in Costa Rica for a visit, spend a week here, and get to know nature again and feel how it affects us, not just seeing the animals, but hearing them. And I think it's probably one of the best vacations you can take in the world that we live in now. The noise goes away, everything just disappears, and it's such a great experience for a holiday, especially for families. I highly recommend families coming to visit.
I took my kids the first time when they were eight. It was the most eight and six. And it was the most amazing experience they've ever had. We went all over the country, but they fell in love with OSA. And my son ended up going to University of Veritas for every summer for 4 years. He has 45 credit hours from there, plus Texas A&M. And that really, sometimes he calls me and he's got this great, you know, thing that he's doing in his life with his business and his education. He's like, "You really messed me up." I said, "No, honey, I gave you options."
That's it. Exactly. Giving options.
Yeah. He's 40 and he has like a 7 or 8 year plan to go back.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Do that.
I just said, again, I just can't emphasize enough how important family trips to the Osa Peninsula can be for children.
It does a lot. It changes their lives.
Changes people for the best. For the best.
Thank you, Chris. It's osatourism.com. Anything you want to do on Osa. I mean, you know, okay, my best friend, Lori. So our grandparents were friends on both sides. We were friends. Our kids were friends. We were Boy Scout leaders with the boys. Our grandbabies are friends. And her son came down. He's been like, he's been out with Joshua. They came down and they came down with the kids. They came down again with the kids. And he said the only thing he could ever needed to see ever to know what to do on OSA was osatourism.com. And he's, you know, kind of a big. Yeah. Actually, he's friends with the ambassador of Costa Rica. So, yeah.
Oh, cool.
The third one.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So with all that said, osatourism.com. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us on Jungle Jana Radio. And we will be back next week, and I'll be from Costa Rica. I'll be to be in PJ. I'm flying on Tuesday. I'll probably spend the night with the show Wednesday from Puerto Jimenez, God willing, and the creek don't rise. Thanks, exactly. Everyone. Thank you, Chris, so much for being on today.
You're my happy to be here.
Happy to be here. See y'all next week. Thank you, Sam. You're awesome.
You're listening to Jungle Jana Radio with Jungle Jana and Angel Garcia, only on LA Talk Radio.